This episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the listener. Patreon.com/Blue Shirts Breakaway. The season is here. Camp is opening. Preseason game next week versus the Islanders. Very exciting. We have Molly Walker of the New York Post to discuss all those things with us and more. All those things and more. That's what Rangers season means to me, my love. All improv here on the Blue Shirts Breakaway podcast. Okay, enough of that. Let's get to Mark Messier and get to the show. But again, one more thing. You want to support the show, patreon.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway, BSB's OTs, our wonderful Discord, Q&A's coming back, Gambling with Greg, a bunch of more other stuff. I just love you all. I'm just happy to have the true love and suffering in my life back, the New York Rangers. Here we go, Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushwick Breakaway fans, welcome to the week of the Bushwick Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, here for the opening week of camp. I'm here with my good friend Gregory, where we'll only talk about the New York Rangers. Greg, say hello.
It has been 96 hours, and I cannot stop thinking about the end of UCF.
I don't watch college football or care at all. I guess you have to explain to me what happened.
Oh, my God. Your boy, famously, had the Louisville money line. Louisville tie game late in the end of the fourth quarter. Louisville's driving down the field on third down inexplicably. They throw the ball when they're already in field goal range. It gets tipped and intercepted, and UCF takes it to Louisville territory where they're now in field goal range. And UCF on first down inexplicably throws the ball, and it gets tipped and returned for a pick six.
That's unbelievable.
On back-to-back plays.
I was watching it, and I just didn't understand
what was happening, and all I knew was I now had money.
There you go. Congrats. I'm proud of you for having money. Gus Johnson was my highlight of the weekend outside of...
Oh, my God. the amount of times yesterday I said that I wish I knew Gus Johnson was calling this Cardinals-Vikings game because I would have pounded the over, unlimited. At least 75 times.
I wish they would pay some obscene amount of money to have Gus Johnson call one hockey game. Just one. I just want to hear what it's like. I'm sure it's like absolutely
Gus Johnson opening night when there are going to be 12 fights between the Rangers and the Capitals.
Here's my dream booth for opening night if it's not Sam, because I know I don't want to make everyone depressed. I love Sam, okay? Jim Ross and Gus Johnson. Jim Ross, WWE legend, of course, now with AEW, and then Gus Johnson. Perfect booth.
Well, you know, the good news with that is Jim Ross is in the TNT family.
Oh, so it's possible. Crossover.
We just got to – Fox has to let Gus Johnson out of the bag for one night.
Oh, this – we got to start a petition. we'll figure it out. Anywho, there is not a lot of storylines going into the season right now. We do talk about a lot of them with our good friend Molly Walker on the show. She comes on at about, I don't know, 20 minutes from now in this situation. But I asked, because I needed content desperately for this show, what questions – people had going into camp. Can you guess any of them? I'm sure you can guess all of them.
Who will be the winger playing? What will the top six look like?
Yeah,
will
yeah,
Filip
yeah,
Hedl
yeah,
yeah. be a top six forward? Is Nils Lundqvist going to win the job out of camp? If it's not Nils Lundqvist, who is it? Who is it? Who is Patrick Nemeth? Is he a New York Ranger? Does he exist? Will Morgan Barron make the team out
yes.
of camp? Will Alexander Georgiev?
So many captain questions too, and I just—we've just been reporting for 7 months straight that it's Jacob Trouba.
Yeah, I don't know what else to tell people at this point.
It should be Chris Kreider.
Jacob Trouba.
It should be Chris Kreider.
If it's not Jacob Trouba, it's Chris Kreider. It's a two-horse race.
Yeah,
it's one of them. And all I will say is, you see a lot more of Jacob Trouba in New York Rangers social media posts than you do Chris Kreider.
Chris Kreider is more captain-like. He shows up a little bit more, but they are clearly pushing Jacob Trouba. There's no doubt about it.
Does Chris Kreider have time to show up to prospect camp because he doesn't have captain responsibilities like Jacob Trouba does, where Jacob Trouba's doing 16 photo shoots with the Rangers social media team at any given time?
Yeah, people are asking. That's it.
All I'm saying, guys, this is one of those things where you're thinking too hard. You really are. I would put the odds at about -450 that it's Jacob Trouba. And I'd put Kreider at about +325.
Yeah.
And then I will give you the field at 6-1.
And the field is Mika and Fox, and that's it.
The field, Ryan, is the entire fucking team.
I know what it is.
Dryden goddamn Hunt in the field to be captain.
Haven't heard much about Dryden this year.
Literally everybody else, 6-1. It'll be Jacob Trouba.
Right.
You just have to pay attention to the context clues.
That's exactly it. I'm right there with you, bud. So let's read some of the questions, and we'll answer some of them honestly, and rather quickly at the same time. This is from Larry Bubbs. Why did we only find out today that Lafreniere has played for the Rangers before? What the hell? That was the wrong question. I'm so sorry. This is for Travis Leone. What does this team need to make the playoffs this year? What are the players? What are the players' developments, acquisitions, etc.? I think we're just saying Eichel's not a Ranger. That's it. As for this podcast, we're not saying it's not happening, but all the questions we answer is Eichel doesn't become a Ranger, at least in my opinion. I think he still can be, but just for this exercise. All the kids need to take a step forward. Maybe not all the kids, but at least Kapokako and Lafreniere need to take a step forward. And I think I'd go as far to say that the Filipino needs to also, because the center play, which is going to be the big topic of conversation heading into the season, even though we kind of like all three centers, Mika Zibanejad, Strom, and Filipino, has to be one of the strong points of this team. And I guess people just don't believe it can compete for a spot as a Stanley Cup team. And they're likely right to be Stanley Cup winners, but that's not what we're asking. We're asking to make the playoffs. And I think a squad of just those three centers and the firepower the Rangers have, if Kapokako and Lafreniere take the step, Adam Fox stays as is, and Igor can be the person we all think he is, there's no doubt in my mind they can make the playoffs. Absolutely.
Well, we've talked about this briefly before. It's essentially what the Rangers are doing by not clearly making themselves better on paper and just making themselves better in theory, is they're making about a six-player parlay. And these six things, they can't just go 5-for-6. It has to be 6-for-6 for the Rangers to really hit this. They need Kapokako to not just play the level of defense responsibility he had last year, but become a 50-plus point player this season. They need Lafreniere to score at least 25-plus goals. They need Keandre Miller to be the defender from the first half of the season, more so than the defender from the second half of the season. They need Adam Fox to continue his great play. They need Jacob Trouba to take on his leadership role and run with it. They need Nils Lundqvist to be not necessarily Tony DeAngelo levels offensively, but at least better than Tony DeAngelo levels defensively. They need Filipino to become the at least offensively skilled center that he showed before he broke his hand and got COVID last year. And they need Ryan Strom, if he's still here, which we have no reason to assume he won't be, they need Strom to continue to be Ryan Strom. They need at least 8 different things to happen internally, 6 of which are young players improving on their play from last season, and 2 of which is asking one defenseman to continue to be the best defenseman in the NHL, which might be an unfair ask, even for someone as special as Adam Fox, and one other player who, again, continues to exceed all of our expectations, to just continue exceeding all of our expectations. Oh, not to mention, Igor Shesterkin has to stay healthy. So it's like,
boy, that was a lot what you just said. That was so many factors.
Yeah, but like,
scary.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. That is the frustration you and I have had with these New York Rangers. We have never said that, as currently constructed, the New York Rangers can't make the playoffs. They absolutely can, but so many things have to go right. All you need to do, listen, you guys know this is a New York Mets podcast. All you have to see for a team that should make the playoffs to not make the playoffs is to see how, when things aren't going well, even when the roster is correctly constructed, that's what happens. And I, as a Met fan and a Ranger fan, get frustrated when my teams don't necessarily not just build to get better, but build to support the roster they currently have in place. Now, the Rangers think they did. And kudos to them for feeling confident that they've done enough. But you are betting on so much talent and so many things that have to go right, that if 2 or 3 of those things don't go right, or even if they don't go catastrophically wrong, like they do whenever the Mets do anything, even if they just go not as well as we thought they would, it's going to be hard for this team to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. I still feel pretty good about it. I see what you're saying, though. Let's just say Igor gets some sort of injury, right? I mean, the groin injury happened last year. The groin injuries linger. It just happens with goalies. Shit,
if he tries to drive to the grocery store.
Right? It could just be that. Ubers only, please. That could be the situation. And then that just leaves us with Georgiev just riding that out and hoping that we don't let up breakaways. That could just be half of the season right there. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But I can see where you're coming from, where all the factors kind of have to line up for everything to go right for the Rangers. Charlie C asks, who will be their go-to center to win faceoffs? This is Goodrow, and I don't even think it's close.
Yes.
And he won't even be playing center. So there you go. There's that.
Yeah, that's one of those weird things where, like, I understand. It's almost like positionless basketball is what we really need to.
Well, because Kreider took a lot of faceoffs last year, like a ton. But he's a winger, clearly.
Because everybody else on the roster sucks at faceoffs.
Yeah,
so
they all suck.
At some point, you have to ask someone to possibly win a faceoff. But, like, with positionless basketball, we all understand that when LeBron James on the court, we'll never call him a point guard, but we'll always say things like, well, the offense flows through him. So it's like, I'd love to get to a point where we're at positionless hockey, where I don't need to classify someone as a left wing or a right wing or a left-handed defenseman or a right-handed defenseman, and I can just, like, essentially say a number, and that's what the hockey player is. That's the world I would like to live in, Ryan.
I'm going to get us a little dark for a second.
Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ.
I know, not actually.
I was just watching Dark Side of the Ring, the Brian Pillman story.
Don't know
it. Really want to get dark. I got time.
Okay. I don't know it, but maybe I'll watch it. It's one of those weeks for me. This is from at Sutton Mutt, and I think this is something we haven't discussed enough on the podcast, so this will be the first time. What do the New York Rangers pending free agents do, especially if this team lags out of the gate? A.K.A., do the Rangers just try and get Mika to waive his no-movement contract if they don't sign him? Do they try and trade Ryan Strome also at the deadline, leaving them only with Filipetto as their only center heading out of the deadline? This is a situation that could actually happen, but yet I don't think you and I have really discussed it much.
Well, first of all, it seems like the Rangers wouldn't mind trading Strome right now.
Yeah,
forget
I mean,
about whether they're in it yes. at the deadline or not.
Yep.
I mean, if the Rangers are out of it at the deadline,
there's a lot more problems.
And Mika Zibanejad doesn't see himself staying in New York longer. If Filipino's the only bona fide center they still have, I mean, who cares, right? Like, you're not overly worried. Morgan Barron will absolutely be given more run and leash if that's the case. And I think they would just slide Barclay Goodrow over to center, and maybe Will Cooley or someone of that nature from Hartford comes up and starts playing more top 9 minutes. So, like, that's the thing, guys. When you're talking about what do the Rangers do if they're out of it, well, if they're selling everybody off, I don't really think they care who necessarily. Like, if they don't have three great centers, well, they weren't playing well with three good centers to begin with. So why not just let Barron get run or move Barclay Goodrow over to center for half a season? That's not a big concern for me. Do I see a scenario in which the New York Rangers are trading Mika Zibanejad at the deadline? I don't, because I don't think the Rangers are ever going to be bad enough where they won't be in some sort of contention. Like, even if they're – think about where they were last year going into the deadline. I don't think the Rangers will ever be further out than that, and people consider that to be within contention. So they're not going to be worse than the Blue Jackets. I don't believe they're going to be worse than the Devils this year. All it takes is for the Flyers to be absolute shit again, which –
could
as
happen.
Long as Elaine Vigneault there, it's possible. So the scenario in which the Rangers are in a position where they're completely out of it, I think they're few and far between. But if it does happen and they trade their pieces that are on expiring contracts, I wouldn't care who the Rangers have playing in their top nine. I would expect Hedl is one. I would expect Barron is the other. And do whatever the fuck you want to do with the third line. Who cares at that point?
Totally agree. That brings us to, when is Henrik Lundqvist ceremony night? I think you made this point on OT, but I kind of want to let you run with it again.
Sure. It'll be on a night when MSG has broadcast rights, and it'll be on a night where the Rangers don't expect fans to show up previously. So you're looking at a midweek game against a Western Conference opponent with no true connections to the New York Rangers, and I think that's when it'll be. That what prompted this rant that I had on OT essentially was
where you could listen TNT on Patreon.com/BlueShirtBreakaway. Okay, keep going.
Bang, 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 boom, boom. TNT released its broadcast schedule, and one of the games on TNT this year is the March 2nd game against St. Louis on Hank's birthday. I promise you, MSG is not going to allow Henrik Lundqvist to get his number retired unless it can use an entire day of programming to build up to this game, then have an extra special 90-minute pregame show that gets to parade some of Hank's retired teammates through the pregame show, and Steve Valiquette, among others, get to talk about how great Hank is for 90 minutes. And then the ceremony is going to start at 6:30, and it's going to go until 7:30. And then at 7:45, we're going to drop the puck. And at every intermission, we're going to get another Henrik Lundqvist story and people reminiscing about his great career. That shit is not going to happen on TNT. That shit will happen on MSG. So look at the Rangers schedule. Try to find a Tuesday game against a Western Conference team. And I think that's when Henrik Lundqvist will get his jersey retired.
I think you were on to something there, Greg. That's buy the dip, baby. Get those tickets now. You can make thousands of dollars grifting. There you go. I think that's pretty much all the actual good questions. I have so many questions about Gallant, but I think you and I...
The shade you just threw the people that asked you questions that you just called ass. Your question sucks.
Well, the rest
Twitter
of them are
follower.
All about the centers. I mean, not centers. Well, they are about centers too, but captains also. We kind of addressed that already. We kind of addressed all their questions. And we address a lot more of them with Molly later. So that's why I figured. I guess I did throw it in a shady way. My apologies.
You really did. You kind of shit all over
my apologies. Let me list all their names and apologize individually to every single one of them. Okay. Emma, Anthony, Larry, Tim, Travis, Cade, Brian. Okay. The people I didn't mention, I'm so sorry. All right.
The people who you just chose not to mention, they might as well be dead to you.
They'll
you
yell at me tomorrow and I'll respond and say, I'm sorry or something. Ask for an apology. I'll give you one. There you go.
Jesus Christ. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's been a lot. Where do we go from here? There is...
I don't know.
The Mika Zibanejad thing is kind of worrying to me. I don't really know how to go into the season with him. And they're not going to sign him mid-season, are they? I don't think so.
No, but I'll also stop short of saying I'm worried. I mean, Francisco Lindor didn't sign his extension until 7 minutes before his deadline.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think talks will happen as long as camp is happening. The season doesn't start for 23 days. And 23 days is a long – what happens first? Because Zibanejad signs his extension or Jack Eichel gets traded?
God damn it. This is – it's kind of like the Tampa Bay Lightning are cheating bit we did for a long time, except it's this.
First of all, it's still cheating.
Not
second
a bit,
of all,
I, guess,
I haven't ruled out Jack Eichel going to Tampa Bay.
God,
third of
I
all,
will
don't
jump
think
off
I
bridge.
Didn't see that Brent Seabrook story, fucking Tampa Bay Lightning. I saw it. You were talking to me directly. You're fucking cheating again. I'm on it. But
what was the story for people not listening, including me?
Brent, someone asked Steven Stamkos, because remember they traded for Brent Seabrook's
yes,
dead body?
They did.
And yes. someone asked him, is Brent Seabrook, how is he interacting with the locker room? And I think Stamkos was essentially, I don't think he's in any of our text groups, but we're curious if he's going to play in the playoffs.
That's legendary. I hate them. Oh, I hate
assholes.
Them.
But seriously, Zibanejad extension or an Eichel trade? What happens first?
So I'm going to say Eichel trade. I've been wrong
Does
every
either
time.
Either happen before December.
It feels bad.
Does either happen before December?
My gut says no. My gut says the Mika Zibanejad thing only happens after the season because I think they'll make the trade for some other center either at the end of the season or in the offseason before the draft or right after me. He's not going to sign in season. It's so rare for players to sign the contracts in season like that.
Is it in hockey? I feel like it happens in hockey.
I guess it doesn't really happen in baseball. Maybe it happens in hockey in that case. I'm going to get called out. I'm sure people will. But I just... I'm sure if Mika's number was right, and rumors were he's asking for $10 million, I know the Rangers are going to ask for like 7.5 over 5 years, which is what they'd be comfortable with. And I think I don't think anybody hates Mika. I don't think anybody has disdain towards Mika. But I could see why if you were out there saying, hey, I don't really want to have Mika Zibanejad for 8 years, $9 million. I kind of feel that. I feel you. I think there's not a lot of better options out there right now. He's a perfect number, like, and he's a really good number one center. He's a perfect number two center. Just like a quality, absolute top quality number two center. So if you can get someone to go with him, who would that be? That'd be great. But for 8 years, $9 million, that is a cap crunch. And I am worried a little bit about his injury history and play. So I think if they did 8 years, $8 million, I would be like, okay, cool. I'd be happy about it, but I wouldn't. I don't think I'd celebrate. I don't think it would be good in the long run. 8 years is too much for hockey players. I know we have to do it. That's just the market. And get that bag when you can. You really should. And I support Mika Zibanejad. I just don't know how I feel about having him for 8 years.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But also, I think us saying I don't know how I feel about having Mika Zibanejad for 8 years is a coping mechanism we are all currently employing to convince ourselves that we actually not just see a scenario in which Mika Zibanejad isn't a New York Ranger, but that we're okay with it. When in reality, I think we're kind of lying to ourselves. I think people just, if push came to shove, I think they'd rather just have Mika Zibanejad on the New York Rangers. And if it's for 3 or 4 years more than what he's probably worth, at some point, worth keeping your favorite players around, even if it turns out to be pretty shitty.
It is worth doing that sometimes. I'm with you. I do think
I say all that and say that I'd rather have Jack Eichel.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Here we go again.
We never stopped.
It never happened. One of the other questions that I'm not going to give credit to this person because I closed my phone and I'm in a closet. Is what happened to the summer of anything? Well, nothing happened. Just that's it.
But the anything was nothing.
Like, yeah.
I feel like people. I said this on Twitter. People forgot that. Anything, nothing is implied in anything. Anything doesn't mean that the Rangers are just going to do 700 things. Anything means there's a possibility the Rangers do zero things. And that's what they decided
Welcome
to do.
Welcome to Science and Physics with Ryan and Greg. Anything is right. Nothing. It's philosophy also. So when you have a lot of anything, you also have a lot of nothing. Do you understand? Everybody following me?
I'm a big movie guy, as you know. One of my low-key favorite movies is a movie by the name of Kingdom of Heaven, starring the great Orlando Bloom.
Legend.
And at the end, when he surrenders Jerusalem to Saladin, and he asks Saladin, he's like, what is Jerusalem worth? And Saladin goes, it's worth nothing. And then he turns around and says, it's worth everything, and walks off into the sunset. I was like, I'm going to live my life by that principle. And just lie to people all the time. That's essentially what happened in that scene.
Well, that's what the Rangers did. They're waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Again, like, the Rangers straight up lied to us because they said they want to change their top six by adding someone, not just subtracting. And they wanted to have more clarification in terms of what they're doing down the middle.
What's your excitement level for this season, legitimately, out of 10?
It's not a fair question. Because it's not the Rangers' fault that I'm currently not excited at all. The Mets season has me so low.
That makes sense.
That I am excited about nothing.
Yeah, you're uncomfortably numb.
The only thing I am excited about, and it only got me excited because I didn't expect it, was Gus Johnson calling an NFL football game. Like that, I didn't expect it to happen, and then I heard his voice. And it was the first moment of happiness I felt in months.
Criminal not to have him on a broadcast for that long. Doesn't make sense.
I'll say as of 8:40 p.m. on Monday night, on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 4.
I'm like a 6-ish, 6.5. I think that's where I'm at.
This will change. As soon as I start getting worked up about who's playing with whom in camp.
We're just doing temperature check. It's important.
You said a temperature check?
Yeah, it's important. It's 1 out of 10. It's a temperature check. That's what we're doing. We're getting a feel for the room.
I would say I'm at the exact same point as I would be or where I was the offseason where the New York Mets signed only Sean Markham.
Yes.
And then, like, they were telling me that spring training was coming and they signed literally just Sean Markham. And I'm like, I guess I'm happy baseball's coming back. At the same time, am I happy baseball's coming back? I would say that year I was about a 4-2.
I'll put it this way. I'd probably be an 8 or a 9 if at the end of last season, and I think they were taking some steps, if Lafreniere and Kako they both hit a wall, but they also both took tremendous strides. But if they were just all of a sudden, like last 10 games, just ripping it up, I would be inconsolable for most of the next couple weeks waiting to watch those two play hockey. But they kind of had like that hit the wall, and then the Rangers got the crap beat out of them for like a week and a half. And that just left a really bad taste in my mouth. So that's why I end up like 6.57.
I don't think there's anything the Rangers could have done at the end of last season to really get me out of my chair excited for this season, unless last season ended the only positive way it could.
God, if Eichel was here, I'd be going crazy.
I honestly, I think I'd be
crazy.
Right. I think for me, it if obviously if Eichel was here, it'd be a 9. But I'm a guy who gets excited about turnover and change. So even if the Rangers had just, even with the Buchnevich trade, say the Rangers traded for Kuznetsov, I think I'd be at a 6.5 because I'd be really curious. It's part of the excitement is like this great unknown, except the problem is the great unknown with the New York Rangers involves players I already have opinions about. I need a player whose opinion I am at zero with.
Sammy Blais, we have no idea.
Sammy Blais is going to play 7 minutes a night. Go for him. Congratulations.
Hey, I love Sammy Blais. I'm going to follow along. He's going to do something cool. We'll have a shirt. That'd be cool.
Exactly. But I wouldn't have been thrilled about a Kuznetsov
trade. I would have been upset. It would have been a sad podcast.
But I'd be like, we'd be sitting here today. I'd be like, Ryan, I don't know. You got to remember the good times with Kuznetsov. And maybe he's bringing a little bit of craziness and wild card. Maybe
on and off
the
ice. The
locker room.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, the man loves playing in the snow, both on and off the ice.
Big time
skier. So maybe, Ryan, maybe that's a guy I could get behind. Like, I need something like that. Instead, I'm just like, you know, according to Vince Mercogliano's razor from 2004, maybe Capo Caco looks bigger.
Yeah.
So, like, it's my problem this year's the new, and the reason why I'm not as excited, again, this time next week, I'm sure I'll be a 5. And the week after that, I'll be a 6.5. And the week after
the Washington night, I'm going to be a full 10.
Oh, yeah. Well, Washington night, we're not going to be sober.
That's true.
It's going to be great.
That's true. Hey, if you want to come see us, we will be good plug time. We'll be at the Gin Mill October 13th. I don't know if we need to have a list or something, Greg. We'll talk about that.
We do not. All you have to do is show up and walk downstairs to the hidden speakeasy room.
Whoa.
Where there are 4 televisions and a private bar.
And we will be hanging with everybody who wants to hang with us for Washington, New York. Could be a couple people. Could just be 4 of us. Exclusive. Probably be a lot more than that. But please bring some vaccination proof. We'll be all good. All right. Cool.
Yes. You'll need that.
Very important.
But anyway, my problem is the things I get excited about in camp when there's a lot of turnover is that I'm forming new opinions. My problem is I have opinions of these guys. So I'm not excited about trying to just tweak the opinions I already have. It's like reworking my thesis for the 15th time. I'd rather write a new thesis.
But I haven't been
giving new evidence for said thesis.
Great point. All right, let's get to Molly Walker where we talk more about all this stuff. All these things and more. Second time I've done this podcast. All right, follow us on, rather go to Patreon, support the show, all that shit. Here's Molly Walker from the New York Post. Transition. Hey, we're back with our number one favorite recurring guest. Just made that up, Molly. Molly Walker from the New York Post. Molly, how are you doing?
No, absolutely. I'm number one. Just keep the right identifier there. Thank you.
Right. What I was doing there was making the check out to you. I was writing it. Molly Walker, number one, costs $51.
Only 51? Try. You're on back order for my previous however many appearances I've made. I was going to check in with you guys on that, why I haven't received a single check yet.
Can you tell me? I had so many text messages, like, so when am I getting paid? Like, right that day, I was what the hell? No one's getting paid.
What Ryan isn't telling you is about 6 of them were from me asking him the exact same question.
Honestly.
Good times. There's a lot going on right now. You got to spend some time at the prospect camp. I guess I'll ask the burning question that everyone in New York Rangers lore and community is asking. How do you hold a phone so still?
I just, it's a skill I've acquired over the years, I guess. I don't Surely know. Not. Everybody was pretty impressed with my ability, although there was a very, very low bar to clear, I was told by the the streaming service that they had going. But honestly, if we're being honest, from when we watched them during the pandemic, just in practices, they'd have the streaming services and it was on like a motion sensor and you couldn't see anything. It would just like jolt back and forth. Like Keith Kincaid would be doing like side steps, like in the middle of the ice. And that's what I would be watching when we were trying to figure out the lines and things like that. So, but you know, they're doing their best, I guess. It's okay.
Hey, I'm happy they tried. That's nice. That's all I had.
That's true.
Like the Flyers.
That's true. They hadn't, I don't think they had streamed any of the other like scrimmages or anything like that prior to this.
Never.
Right?
And the Flyers, who are from a much smaller city of Philadelphia, of which I'm familiar with, had an announcer and an official stream, which, you know, makes us look really good. So we'll figure it out eventually.
No, that actually was a luxury. I was kind of surprised at that when I pulled that up and heard people talking. I was like, oh, wow, we actually have commentators? Great.
It was a nice surprise. Well, the Rangers will figure it out one day. MSG Plus or 7 or one of those things will, they'll get it. Oh, it doesn't matter. Let's ask a real Ranger question since we've gone through. All right, that was a real Ranger question. Let's ask another one. You got to watch some prospect development camp. Who did anyone stick out, and was it Morgan Barron?
Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Cool.
And if Morgan Barron didn't stand out, then that would have been more glaring and concerning than it would have been that he naturally stood out. He looked like one of the – there was only four guys on the ice that had any NHL experience, and two of them was Tarmo Ruotinen, who had two games, I think, and then Justin Richards, who had one. So it barely even counts. Zach Jones had the most of everyone there. But, yeah, Barron really – he pushed the pace, and he was – showing a lot of different skills that not a lot of the other prospects were showing, but that's it was as expected, honestly. So he definitely looks good going into the main camp.
I feel remiss where the first I just feel remiss that the first prospect we're talking about from Rangers camp is someone who likely will start the year in Hartford and not Nils Lundqvist. So why don't we transition immediately to Nils Lundqvist? Are we building the statue tomorrow, Thursday? Are we building it in 2 years?
No.
Or should we all take a big step back and be like, by the way, this guy is still a child coming over from Sweden, so maybe we let him have a minute or two to get comfortable?
Stepping back a little bit, I'm in agreement with Ryan and starting off with Morgan Barron because he's the most interesting storyline going to training camp, I think. I think that Nils Lundqvist is expected to be that third defensive pairing and that he's expected to start the season. And it's not really like a guess, I guess, going into camp. So I agree that I'm okay with starting with Barron. But yes, you're right. Lundqvist is – thank you. But Lundqvist is yes, he's going to be in a third pair role for sure. And he looked good as well. He's calm with the puck. You know, he also stands out amongst defensemen. I think that he definitely looked better than Zach Jones, as much as that pains me to say, my fellow UMass guy. No personal, you know, attack there. But yeah, Lundqvist is I don't know about monuments being erected in his honor yet, but they're coming.
Well, let allow me to transition back to Morgan Barron. I got two-way game here then. So we know very little about what we think Gerard Gallant is going to do with the New York Rangers, but we have enough experience with him as an NHL head coach where he believes fourth line identity is important and also believes that the fourth line is not a place for a young player to develop.
Great point, Greg.
So that essentially means Morgan Barron needs to be a top nine player to be a New York Ranger on opening night. Do you see a viable scenario in which that happens?
It's really tough, and it depends on what Gerard Gallant values, I think. I think when he makes those sort of statements about a young player, I'm thinking more of like the Vitali Kravtsovs and the Capo, like Vitali Kravtsov does not belong on the fourth line in any way, shape or form. But Morgan Barron, I think, has a little bit more of grit and grind to his game and fits better. I would love to see like a black and blue bruiser fourth line of like Ryan Reeves, Morgan Barron, like Sammy Blay or however that ends up shaking out.
Now we're talking. Couple. Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah, right. That sounds exciting.
It's fun.
Like a heavyweight fourth line like that has an idea. And this is also me coming from me. I know there are Ranger fans that listen to this podcast, but I see the Islanders and the way that fourth line is so effective. And that's something that you definitely want to emulate after. And I think that the Rangers actually for once have some of the personnel to put something together like that, or maybe even like a checking third line with Goudreau. But that doesn't really fit Hedl's game. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces and things that need to fall into place. And we're going to really have to wait and see how the lines shake out, because there are a couple of question marks and players that could be flip-flopped that I guess we'll just see how the competition plays out in camp.
Yeah, it seems like the top nine is already set going into camp, barring a huge move for some unnamed person from Buffalo or any other random trade that could still happen between now and when the season starts. Who knows?
Right.
Because there's no new information. But I do find the Morgan Barron situation just a little more intriguing, because we like Kevin Rooney on this show, and I think a lot of Ranger fans grew to love Kevin Rooney from his wonderful acting skills on the bench and also his PK his penalty kill just I guess, performance throughout the year. Now, if Morgan Barrett could actually win a faceoff, because the Rangers have notoriously had a really hard time doing that, I think that would end up helping his cause. I know one of his quotes from the last 2 weeks is, hey, I've tried to work on everything and be a jack of all trades. And I do believe he could show himself to kind of beat out Kevin Rooney, but I also feel like it's strange that they would just kind of get rid of Kevin Rooney if Morgan Barron worked out, because he's a valuable piece.
No, I totally understand that. And who knows if maybe Kevin Rooney ends up being a healthy scratch for a couple times this season, and maybe they want to alternate. You know, you never know how Gallant is going to approach the season and his strategy and whatnot. I obviously haven't paid that much close attention of where with what he was doing elsewhere and his strategies of that sort of stuff. But I mean, I think that Barron plays with a lot of oomph. I really do. And he's really a pleasure to watch. But that also is coming from me watching him against other prospects and in development camp. So naturally he had to stand out. But I also think, and he talked about this a little bit too earlier in the week, that he has a bit of a leg up and Lundqvist too going into camp, because this prospect camp was so competitive and so chippy with each other that you guys saw it when they got on the ice with other prospects that they could actually hit and not really care about. They were throwing the hits, you know, Matt Rempe's shit talking everybody, dropping the gloves. Like, it was intense. So they have a bit of an adrenaline going into this main camp, I think they'll be able to carry over.
In the non-Barron and non-Lundqvist category, and I guess non-Zach Jones too, because I feel like we understand where Zach Jones is in his development and where he is most likely to start the season, just in terms of numbers. But is there a non top of mind Ranger prospect that you think maybe changed the discussion about where he fits in with the Rangers next season based on this camp alone?
Like a prospect that you think is going to actually make the roster, or just like change the perspective of where he falls in the organization?
I more the latter than the former.
I have Rangers, an answer for the latter. 100%.
Yeah, the Rangers have to look forwards, and they know what to do with where, like, if a prospect from this camp was going to make the team, it'd be Morgan Barron. Right. But like, did Will Coyle do something in this camp that all of a sudden the Rangers are thinking, holy shit, wait a second, this isn't just a Tom Wilson punch facer that we took in the third round? Like, was there someone who is trying to redefine his prospect arc, and this camp helped them do that?
Yes, it was Will Cooley.
Very Cooley.
Oil Cooley, whatever. Yes, there's a U in there. There's no
I'm just happy it's not me. You don't understand how great this is.
No, it's a great last name. I love it. No, it sounds cool. But yeah, he also was very impressive. Definitely stood out. Was one of those guys that was able to push the pace. Also just a heavy hitter, hustle type of guy that was able to, it's all about just standing out on the ice. You know, if you're invisible, you know, someone like Matt Rempe, who like you obviously can't miss him because of how large he is, but he also sometimes gets lost in the fray because he's a bit slow with the puck and things like that. But Will Cooley also was able to stand out every time he was on the ice. And it didn't hurt that he was playing next to Barron and Paiemi, I believe is how you pronounce this name, Lauri Paiemi. They were their top line in camp, and they looked nice together. It was very fun to watch.
Awesome. Well, that's enough about prospect camp. Let's talk about heading into the season. The Rangers going into the season for the summer pretty much had this thing called the Summer of Anything. Maybe it was titled by this podcast. And absolutely nothing happened. There's been nothing, right? I mean, we're not missing anything. There's no whispers. This is the thing I keep reading. I think our good friend Hockey Statminer posted. Sorry, there no other team since 2005 in the Caps era has had more than $8 million in just free cap going into the season. And yet here we are with
no
the
other Rangers team.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Rangers squad. Rangers squad.
No, you're not wrong. The question is, if the question is, did the Rangers get better? It's an I don't know. We'll wait and see. If it's a question of getting a different look, 100,000%, that's what they did. They changed the look and the makeup of their lineup, and they added a couple players with a few different dimensions, which is what we criticized them about all last season long. Like, they just had way too many players that were of the same, you know, skill set, the same that had the same type of game, and that you need a variety in your lineup. You need different guys that do different things. Like, I love the quote about Barclay Goodrow that, you know, he's not a Ferrari or whatever, but he's like a Jeep all wheel drive, whatever kind of guy. And that's changing the look of the lineup. And that is something that they needed to do. Did they necessarily get better? Not necessarily. We don't know yet, but also to the fact that they have so much space left over, that just means that there's more coming no matter what, no matter what. So obviously they're not going to do that. They're not going to leave that much money on the table. If there's not another plan or greater purpose in the works, and he who shall not be named always could be on that conversation.
Yeah, we'll see. There was a report last week that Rangers aren't interested. Ha ha! Of course. Yeah, they're totally out. Sorry, Greg, go on.
I was going to ask, in the non-Jack Eichel category here, who has the most to prove heading into Rangers camp? Who's the guy with the biggest chip on his shoulder?
That's a really good question.
That's why I asked.
Nice job, Greg.
You know, yeah, that's a very good question. I think it's between Filipino, yep, and probably maybe Kravtsov and Kako. It's like
the children.
There's a couple, but yeah, the children that are, you know, need to take some major strides. I think maybe looking at a season as a whole is more Kapo Kako, but going into camp, I think Vitali Kravtsov needs to solidify himself as a top six player if that's where he wants to be. And Filipino also, I think, needs to show something else, or they need to see if they have something in him as a top six center, maybe. But I also don't think that will happen. So it's a tough question. But I think I'm going to go with Kravtsov immediately out of in training camp, and then Filipino and Kako a season as a whole.
Kravtsov, follow-up question. Has there ever been a more anonymous free agent signing in New York Ranger history than Patrick Nemeth?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I'm excited to talk to him and see what he's all about. Honestly, I don't really know much about him, but no, you're 100% right. That's how I would describe it as well.
People constantly, I hate doing the people forget meme, but here we are. The entire, all of Rangers Twitter is, hey, the Rangers did nothing. Well, they did sign the Nemethist, which I cannot say. I'll get there eventually. But Patrick Nemeth, like, he seems to be a solid third line defenseman who maybe got overmatched in the playoffs, but has had a pretty analytic friendly career elsewise. Seems like a smart signing for Drury, gets zero credit for it. I want to go back to Kravtsov for a second, because he's the one player I have the most questions about. I think he can have a shot at playing on the second line. I haven't, like, read anything about his offseason. There's been no, like, reporting from anywhere on Kravtsov. That's not a shot at you. It's not a shot at anybody. It's just been kind of it's kind of just been dead silent on what to expect from him. Because to me, I think Goodrow goes on the second line on the right wing pretty much right off the rip, unless Kravtsov comes into camp and destroys. Just is like, hey, I'm ready for the NHL. Can you see a scenario where he's actually second line ready?
I do, in the sense that I just think that his skill set is just better served in the top six. Like, he needs to be like, but I also feel the same way about Kako. I personally didn't hate the Panarin Strom Kako line, especially toward the end of the season. I felt that Kako really started to understand what kind of role he needed to play, which I like the fact that Drury and Gallant are talking about how each player needs to figure out their defined role, because I feel like that's something that they didn't really do the last couple of seasons under David Quinn. So I think that'll be a good thing. But yes, with Kravtsov, I just do think that his skill set is better served in the top six. And also with Gallant's comments talking about not putting young budding players on the fourth line, when I heard that line, I thought immediately he was talking about Vitali Kravtsov. So I feel like that's how he views him as a top six player.
Speaking of defined roles on this team, I feel like that takes us a very natural transition to a gentleman by the name of Ryan Strom, who I don't think there's a role more defined over the last 3 years than trade block candidate Ryan Strom. It's clear the Rangers, I don't know if it's clear, the Rangers seemed willing or more than able to move him this offseason, couldn't. They were definitely trying to move him last offseason, couldn't. Got to a point where they thought about just straight up not paying him, decided against that. What's up, I guess, is my question with Ryan Stone.
No,
what?
And you got to feel for a player like that. You got to feel for a player that's kind of
Ryan's been on the show. He was stupid nice. Like, one of the nicest people ever.
I know he is. I know he is.
He's also, like, as much as we're responsible for some of it, too, but as much as people crap on him, he's been quite good the last 2 years. Yes, I can't sit here and say he's been bad.
No doubt. And I think that he's done his job next to Artemi Panarin. You know, he has complimented Artemi Panarin. It's obviously not a hard job to do, but he's been able to do it. And during the stretch where Panarin was out, Strom's production didn't dip that much. And that's also important. But that's also why I think this is the prime time to package Ryan Strome in a trade of some sort, whether that's for another top tier center whatever it may be. I think that Ryan Strome's last couple of seasons, his trade value is at its absolute highest right now. And I think that they should capitalize on that if that's something that they wanted to do. But also, he hasn't done anything to really prove that he's worth trading either.
They've wanted to. It's not like they haven't wanted to. Elliot Friedman was reporting like, hey, trades I expect this week, and the list was empty with the exception of Ryan Strome to Vegas or Seattle, and that was it. And it's been dead quiet all summer.
That's what I'm saying. There's tons of interest. Like, I know for a fact that there's been tons of interest on him in particular. And that's because he's at his most, like, the last few seasons, he's been great.
For a team like Seattle, he's perfect. He's a leader. Mm-hmm. If you could sign him for, like, a 5-year deal, he's going to go through the rest of his prime. He's probably not going to cost you an arm and a leg. He's probably movable in 4 years anyway.
A good locker room guy.
He's amazing.
Great locker room guy.
Ryan's doing the old car salesman trick where he's just tapping the hood of this car like, this baby's gonna get you from point A to point B.
This baby can miss so many nets.
It's weird. I feel bad for him. At the same time, I don't. And at the same time, I want Philip Hedel to have more responsibility. But the only way for that to happen is for one person to leave. And it's not like I'm asking for Mika Zibanejad to go out of here, but that does bring me to my next question. Mika Zibanejad, is it a little odd that we haven't heard more contract chatter to this point? I mean, the season's as people are listening to this, we're 22 days away. I didn't expect to get within 20 days of opening night and still have a whole lot of Mika Zibanejad questions to ask people.
Right. And I don't blame you, considering their history, just their relationship for so long, how important he's been to the organization. You would think that there would be more rumblings. But that being said, granted how last season went for him, and yes, he had COVID in the beginning, and that definitely played a part in everything. But given how he started last season, I don't think the Rangers, you know, can afford to have their top line center playing like that. So I think that they want to see. I think that this, they are waiting to see how things shake out a little bit on the ice. Because if you look at it, there are for another year in a row, there are so many new moving parts on the Rangers. There's barely any continuity. It's going to be another, you know, jumble of lineups of, you know, players in different places. So I think that they want to see how it shakes out before they make their next big move, wherever that may be. So I do think that they're trying to take a wait and see approach. That's my prediction, I guess.
It's reading the tea leaves, right? Because there's no other...
Right?
There's nothing else. It's
because this is not a finished product.
We have all the money. We're waiting for the other shoe to drop, except there's no shoes. We're barefoot, and we're on the ice, and it's cold. There's nothing else. There's no shoes to drop. The Barkov thing is going to linger over this squad all year, along with Eichel. People are going to be asking about it all the time. We've only heard that Barkov doesn't want to be or leave Florida, rather. That could change, but probably not. Right. Eichel still hasn't gotten the surgery. It's September 20th. Do you remember the 21st night where he didn't get surgery? Anyway, sorry.
No, but I just feel like I've said the same thing the last 3 seasons, is that we have to wait to see what the product is going to be on the ice, because we don't know again going into, like, there's so many new faces, new moving parts, and also with a new management, new coach, so many different things now, especially going into this season. So it's so hard to make any bold assessments or predictions or what they're going to do next or what area they want to address, because we have to wait and see what it is, kind of.
Molly, if you liked my which Ranger has the biggest monkey on their back going into camp, you're going to love this question.
Okay, I'm ready.
What percent chance would you give the New York Rangers between now and opening night of acquiring someone outside the organization to play in their top six?
Oh, that's also a pretty good question.
I am on fire.
What a show.
Again, if it is, if Vitali Kravtsov doesn't show up, or I don't know, or if Zibanejad again has a really, really slow start, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But I think if something does happen, I don't want to say they're going to make a rash decision, like trade someone else, a big core piece away. But they might go out and start looking to address that specific area. Because also things like that, competition in the lineup, lights fires under guys' butts. And you know that you always want to foster lineup competition and things like that. So I think it's going to be a wait and see approach. Whatever, you know, area does look like it needs a little bit of a push, maybe they'll do that.
All I'm saying is I didn't hear a percent number in there.
Nice job.
Can I go 50 then?
Hell yeah. Flip a coin.
I don't know.
You can. It's your number. I can't say the number.
I'll go 50% chance, barring what happens on the ice, you know, barring who gets out to a slow start, you know, if anybody does at all. So who knows?
Going to speak from my client, Keith Kincaid here. If Georgiev gets off to a rough start and has the situation where he can't stop breakaways yet again, which was a serious issue for most of last season. They couldn't even lean on him when Igor was hurt. So considering he was the 1B goalie, I would consider that an issue. Is there a chance they cut bait? I mean, we've talked about how he didn't request a trade, but it seems like he'd be okay to be moved. But they've never really found the suitor. That's another guy similar to Ryan Strom that they've been trying to move for seemingly 2 years now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And he totally is one of those guys that has also just been in the rumor mill for almost his entire career. I think that, I don't know. I think, are the rules changing this season with like the taxi squad and who they can hold and things like
that? So as of right now, there is no taxi squad.
Yeah, but exactly.
GMs want to be able to carry three goalies without having to be penalized, essentially.
I know. And that hasn't been like official yet, is
correct.
It? Or
It's just what GMs want. But it's as of right now, the only way you can carry three goalies is by having three goalies on your 23-man roster.
Right.
Which no team is going to do. So
exactly. So I think there's your answer. I think that if Georgie does get off to a tough start, then I think they're comfortable with riding Shesterkin right now. And maybe they will, maybe Georgiev's, price drops and Jury, you know, accepts less or whatnot, you know, if it really is that dire of a situation that they feel like they need to get out of. But I think that they would try to ride Shesterkin, which I think they're going to try to do anyway.
It's going to be so weird with him because this season in the Metro, much like the last couple years, is going to be quite tight. The top six, excluding the Columbus Blue Jackets and I'm sure the Devils could be a little frisky this year. It's not like they lack talent. They do have some real NHL players. Dougie Hamilton came by. Jack Hughes, another year of being the Devil. So all those teams are going to be really strong. And to compete in that situation, you can't have Georgiev letting up breakaways every other night. I'm fighting for Keith here, but I don't know what's going to work out, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think your bias is showing.
Okay, I tried. Let's move on. How many players have reached out to you or the Post asking to write best shape of their life stories?
Oh, every single one.
Wow.
Speed dial. I wish. That would be a dream media access situation.
So easy.
Oh, God. No, my favorite part, cracking up about this at development camp when he posted a picture of Kakko in the background, like the most blurry, horrible quality photo, and you could barely see the outline of them, and everyone's like, Kakko's jacked.
He's huge.
Kakko gained 20 pounds of muscle. Kakko looks yoked, ready to go for camp. We were cracking up.
He's
we were
thick.
Like, he was literally just standing there in a black t-shirt, like just minding his own business.
Listen, gotta give Kakko credit. He understands that black is a really form-fitting color here in the United States of America. He's developed. He's wiser. He's more mature for 3 years into this. He now understands.
This is, I think he finally started listening to the Church of Kako too as well.
Wow.
Little change in religion there.
It's a nice city. Just incredible.
I know. I honestly, I forgot about that when I was tweeting about Pai Yemi's comments.
Yeah, they both did
New York City. They both did it. But honestly, I was so, like, I forgot about that whole thing with Kako, how it was funny. But like, because I was so endeared with how sweet he and I didn't even include this. I think it was in my story, but he said something like, oh, and when the sun goes down and all the lights come out, it's wonderful. I was like, oh my God, like, that's so sweet. And like, you could tell he really meant it. He really is like starstruck by New York.
I mean, in his defense, Finland still working on that electricity front. So yeah, I totally get it.
Oh, he said he was like, I think the whole country is like 5 million people and there's like over 8 million people in New York City alone.
Turns out big city. Who knew?
Big city. Right. Nice and big city.
Very strange. Has there been, I think I asked you this question last time, but I kind of want to get an update. I've heard nothing bad about Gallant ever. All the research I've done has just been sparkling. Every player that comes on any podcast ever says nothing but nice things about him. Is there anything you're worried about? Is there any negative that we can see so far? Because the negatives will come quick. It'll happen by the first like one or two games. The fans will turn. That will happen.
I was going to say, check Twitter after the first loss, and I'm sure you'll find all your negatives about Jared Gallant.
After the Prospect game, people were freaking out. It was like, what the hell?
I know, right? Yeah, season's a bust. We lost to the Flyers in a development camp scrimmage. No, but honestly, and I like this question because every player that I've spoken to, I've talked to Kreider this offseason, Fox this offseason, I've asked them, you know, you don't want to directly say like, oh, what do you think about Gallant? I kind of phrase it in the way like, oh, what have you heard through the grapevine about him? You know, like what have other players said to you about him? And both of them said that he's a player's first kind of coach, that he has the right temperament, you know, to be able to inspire, but also he has a bit of a development touch, which is what this Rangers team needs. It has such a unique balance of a veteran core, but also young talent as well. And you need to have that developmental touch that David Quinn did have, but you also need to be able to connect with the veterans and have that established career behind you, which he does have. And I'm sure there will be a mutual respect there because of that. So both players had nothing but positive. Obviously they're not going to say anything negative, but they both had very genuine things to say that they had heard about him. So I think it's, you know, but that, again, wait until the first loss and I'm sure you'll find something to say.
It'll be right away.
How many weeks into the season until you feel comfortable calling him Turk? And what is it going to take for him to surpass Turk Wendell in the New York sports Turk landscape?
Absolutely never. I'm here to tell you my biggest pet peeve is when media members call players or coaches by their nickname. Like, they are not your buddy. Like, I'm sorry, but you guys are not boys. Like just call him by his first name. Like, that's what he is. But it's actually funny. During the Islanders playoff run, I got an email from someone that told me that I sounded like a sorority schoolgirl when I called Barry Trotz Barry. And I tweeted about it and it kind of blew up because apparently there's this whole like debate amongst journalists of what we should call the coaches that we cover. Do we call them coach? Do we call them, you know, by their first name, coach, last name, you know, whatever it is. So it was like a whole debate. And the next day I'm sitting in practice watching morning skate after Barry Trotz talked to us. And my phone rings and it's the Islanders PR guy. And I pick up and I'm like, hey, and he goes, hey, Barry wants to talk to you. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And Barry gets on the phone. He goes, hey, Molly. And I was like, Barry, like, hello. And he was like, I just wanted to call you and say that I saw the email that you got on Twitter. He was like, I just want to let you know, you could call me Barry whenever you want.
That's incredible.
And I was like, oh, well, thank you. He was like, you don't need my permission. He was like, you're great. Like, he just was so nice and so like just appreciative. He was like, I love working with you. And yeah, call me Barry whenever you want. And I was like, all right, Barry, I will. Thank you.
Fantastic. This is exactly what I needed to hear. Not only is Barry Trotz the best coach in the NHL, but he's a chill fucking guy.
It makes me so pissed off.
He's a stand-up guy. stand-up guy. No, I know. I can hear you guys fuming through the mics. I hate to tell you. I know. I haven't really told that story, so there you go.
It's so obnoxious that the Islanders are, like, doing everything I really like. It makes me so pissed off.
The Islanders are, like, the best-run team in New York, and it's just fucking sickening. What the hell?
I know. Sure, it infuriates you. Yeah, no, I texted the Islanders PR guy, and I was like, oh my God, ? And he was like, yeah, it was his idea. That's all he said. Like,
cool.
That is so nice. Like, so, yeah. So, needless to say, end of point, I will never call Gerard Gallant Turk.
All right. So Turk Wendell, nice and safe at number one on the leaderboard.
There we go.
Great. Now I want Barry Trotz to coach the Mets. Like, I hate everything. Right? This is fucking terrible.
I think that's the only guy that could turn that organization around, honestly.
Hey, hold on. Billy Bean is sitting right there. We'll be fine.
Oh God, Greg, I'm sorry. I covered a couple of Mets games during this offseason, and
Molly, you don't have to apologize to me. Let me pull Barry Trotz here and apologize to you. I've had to watch 147 of these so far this year. You had to watch two. And you now understand what I've gone through here.
I know. I was at the game that went 4.5 hours. Was it 4.5? Yeah, 4.5 hours.
Not only do they lose, they do it in a very long time.
Painstaking fashion.
Oh, my God. It's like, hey, do you feel terrible about yourself? Do you want to walk into traffic? Here's three more hours to really let you sink in on that.
It's the shenanigans away from the ballpark for me. It's just, it's that kind of stuff. Or at least like in the dugout, like even you go as far as the dugout and there's shenanigans everywhere you go.
Yeah, thank you, Molly. I do enjoy misery.
Sorry to make it stingy.
My Rays are doing great, though. You're the best. That's nice.
I'm having a great time. I'm having a wonderful time. This is what I get for asking you two really good questions.
Yeah, that's how I repay you. Just a nice little jab at the Mets.
For sure. Molly, I think we covered pretty much everything. Is there any storyline that we didn't touch on heading into this wonderful camp session for the New York Rangers?
No, you covered a lot.
Wow.
I'm excited. It's gonna be a fun year, I think.
I think so too. I'm an optimist.
I can sense the hesitancy in your optimism.
No, I feel good. I feel good. I could see a scenario. I'll give a percentage. I could see a scenario above 50%. Nice job, Ryan. That the Rangers could finish second in the Metro. I really could see it.
Second.
I could see
it. Wow.
I just think there's a lot of issues with other squads. I think the Islanders will kind of run away with the division. This year, I think they're going to be really strong and really
Big Z coming back to Long Island.
People are like, why do you care? I was like, it matters. It just
care?
Does.
It's a legendary defenseman going back to where he started his career, and he's going to be able to help them. there's no doubt about it.
That's the thing that honestly, again, just makes me so mad.
Yeah,
it's not that it's just Zdeno Chara and that. Everyone's like, oh, he's 44. It's like, yeah, that's the thing. He's
still
good.
Tom Brady's 44, okay?
I know. And I've been looking at his stats all week. He competed in 55 of 56 games last season at like at 44 years old. And he had, I think, 11 20 plus minute nights. So, like, you know, like that's not bad.
It's not like they're going to shelter him.
No, I think they will a little bit.
Sure.
Well, you. Not to age you here, but I'm also pretty sure you weren't born in 1996.
I was not.
Okay, good. Fantastic.
Yeah. Neither was Barzell or Beauvillier or Wallstrom.
The Rangers starting night.
Not even taking in the Rangers.
Absolutely crazy.
But
it'll be an interesting scenario. Hey, I guess this is my final question.
All right.
Do you expect it to be kind of chippy? Night one, Rangers Islanders in the preseason?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I think no matter what, I think the Rangers are on a mission to show that they can't be pushed around anymore.
So stupid.
If that wasn't apparent of the offseason,
the line is set over under 6.5 fights on opening night.
Oh yeah, I know. Larry and I were talking about it. Larry and I, like, we're getting drinks in DC before that game because we're gonna need them. That's all I know.
We're getting drinks. Yeah. We're doing a drink up, so we'll be very.
Yeah, we're renting out a bar because we feel the exact.
Because opening night against the Capitals. That's why.
No better way, Molly. Can't thank you enough. Want to plug what you do?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter, Molly Walker, 2 E's, 2 R's, and you can listen to our podcast Up in the Blue Seats with the great Ron Duguay. There's never short of anything interesting on that podcast. So yeah, that's it.
Fun times. Thank you, Molly. We're actually going to end the show too. You can follow me on Twitter at Orion Media. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll be back later this week. Let's thank our supporters. Love you guys.
Okay, and this is the part of the show where I thank our offer sheet clubs, our NHL insiders. I'm recording on the road today, so please excuse this click noise. I'm in a closet. Very fun. I'm going to thank all of you now because we couldn't do the show without you. And so much so, I hope we get to meet some of you on October 13th, the night we have a drink up watching the Washington Capitals fight the New York, play hockey against the New York Rangers. Okay, Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam Teach, Adam, I'm so sorry. I know you actually sent me your name, and my brain is doing that thing where I blank. You know who I am, right? I will get it right next week, I promise. Alex Gardner, Alexander, Amber Coetzberger, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Biggies Malone, Brian Doyle, Broadway Boucher, Bria Bleeder, Chris Finelli, CJ Stellwagen, Daniel Day. It's a French name. I know it's Dezen, but it's got a J, and it doesn't make any sense to me. David Naren, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, Eric Stagg. Love you, Eric. I know it's been a while since we've talked. Just wanted to let you know I love you. George, I also love you. Give Gartner a cup. Jake Berkowitz, JD, Jimmy Mack, Kapo Kako, Praise B, Chris from Florida, Christoph Berg, Kyle Franklin, Lazik Gronkowski, legend in the chat, Lucas K, Matthew Kine, an actual legend everywhere I've gone. Matthew has done some incredible things. Pavel Kodurev, Stephen Lohmeyer, Stig Bulbach, Swinegart, The Drop BK, Tom. Oh, it's Tom. So Tom sent me his name too. It's like Clary. I don't think that's right at all. That's really bad. I'm leaving it, Tom. I'm leaving it. Tommy O'Neill, Tori from Manhattan, our oldest supporter in terms of how long they've been supporting us. Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, and Will Spector. Cannot thank these people enough. Cannot wait to give some insider tips as we go through the season to them and let them know all the dumb shit I'm hearing. Thanks everybody for listening to the podcast. It's been a weird couple weeks for me. A lot going on in the background of my life, and Greg too, I'm sure. So I'm super excited for Ranger season to get here. I'm super excited to put my efforts towards what is sure to be a wild season, and I can't wait to share it all with you. We'll be back later this week with BSBOT. You know the drill. We love you guys. Bye.